Greetings to the saints, to my brethren. There is truth, and there's a counterfeit. There are two roads, two paths, which run parallel with the truth in Scripture. One is true, the other counterfeit. One is broad, one is narrow. They derive their energy from the same source, Scripture. They both head in the same direction, weaving forward on either side of the line and sometimes intersecting. But the destinations arrived upon at the end of the line differ like day and night. And the separation between the carnal mind and the mind of Christ, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God, truth and untruth, that separation becomes all too apparent to opened eyes and hearts. So I'd like to go on a little bit about the real good fight of faith and the wolves within us. Those upon the broad road use Scripture. They use Scripture to validate their involvement in the affairs of this world. They use Scriptures like John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They also use Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And please note that few ever read beyond the colon after knowledge. 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith." And please note that few ever read beyond the word "fight." Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wickedness in high places." And please note that this scripture has been rearranged to present human rulers as actual targets for our Christian patriotic factions who pray and wrestle not against flesh and blood. "The truth shall set you free." Well, this is presented to us in multiple pseudo-Christian contexts. When they teach us that the New World Order is evil, then that particular truth sets us free. When they reveal to us every conceivable and inconceivable conspiracy designed to enslave or kill us, then that truth sets us free. When they teach us that some helpful product that they sell as a necessary means to support their ministries and helps our hearts, and brains, and livers, and kidneys, and overall feelings of well-being, etc., etc., then this health truth sets us free. Nothing against healthier, but Scripture is being used. I don't see how knowing that I'm being purposely poisoned is going to set me free from anything. I would be more apt to freak out, knowing that unless I grub for roots and tubers in the woods and grow my own food or buy their products, I wouldn't survive long enough to decompose at the normal rate when I finally kick. Go figure. And the broad road vendors of truth, that which sets us free, tells us that it's up to them to open our eyes because we perish for lack of knowledge. They're supplying us with the knowledge, you know. They have no idea where Hosea 4:6 is, but they just like to use that because they've heard it all over the radio and the internet and everywhere else. You know, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." They've got to know that, you know, that this new elixir is going to, I mean, it's not only going to make their hearts well, it's going to lower their cholesterol, and it's going to cure diabetes, and it's going to, you know, send them to the moon. Yeah. And we do need much more knowledge about these foods and medicines and, you know, guns and conspiracies and stock market stuff, you know. We do. Yeah. But also we must fight the good fight against the rulers in high places, as they put it, as godly patriots and constitutionalists. Hey, I got nothing against patriotism or constitutionalism or the Constitution. What I've got against these guys who use this wonderful scripture and the crap they purvey is that they mislead even the sheep. So I'm here to stand between them and the sheep and say, hey, sheep, don't listen to that garbage. The patriots and the constitutionalists must establish God's righteousness by way of education and legislation and complaint and wines and coercion and peaceful informed resistance. Peaceful informed resistance? We tried that in the 60s. It wasn't peaceful. It was informed. What a road, huh? And kindly allow this old warhorse to interject a little reality into this scripture-inspired Christian bull-throwing. As God lives, we will never change a thing in our idol of a wicked and perverse nation without all-out bloodshed. I mean, add stupid as well as deceived to my estimation of the intents of our precious pastors and sundry revolutionary provocateurs. Maybe being paid by the CIA. Oh, my God. Blood, folks. Blood, not legislation, will ever revive our national corpse if that's what it's going to take. Blood. And I'm not for it at all. I'm for God, not guns. But, Alex, Pastor Pistol, Tex, you know, Pete, and the rest of these Christian patriots who find Jews in every corner are doing nothing more than adding to their media personas and stature for the arrival of their rewards for their stewardship, and they're coming. Buddies, your way is broad as your books and the line of products you pimp out. In what you've erroneously called your ministries for the good of mankind, to the glory of God. If you don't believe me, fine, I don't care. I'm not out to convince anybody. I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait to see what comes out in the wash. It's not the fluoride, lithium-laced water and the chemtrails, the GMOs, the vaccines, or the public school systems which are numbing your Christian patriotic listening audiences and their families, guys. It's God, by his use of his vessels, which he has fitted for wrath. And by this statement, I have just declared who is at the heart of all of this confusion and conspiracy which you, on this broad road, profess to be clarifying and revealing by your interpretations of knowledge and truth. The good fight is being fought against the leaves and branches of the world, not the spiritual root, a root none can see nor ever dig out. If you're a Christian, you are of the kingdom of God. And in answering Pilate on the day he was killed, Jesus Christ told Pilate, John 18:36, that his kingdom was not of this world. Therefore, his servants would not fight for whatever the reason. Sorry, Butch. So you folks walking this broad road to freedom and socio-political emancipation might want to consider not only the truth abundantly present in Scripture, but precisely how this truth is being used and for what purpose. Better yet, for whose purpose? Shift in gears and change in the tone. Those upon the narrow road are Scripture. Those upon the narrow road are Scripture. Since Scripture is a physical record of the utterances of the living word and truth, Jesus Christ, and this scriptural living truth is in them, in the person of the word, Jesus Christ, then they do not use Scripture to help their dreams or delusions materialize, nor to take down earthly strongholds as those broad roaders in sheep's clothing do. The Word and Scripture lives in God's saints. They are the mothers, brothers, and sisters that Jesus Christ spoke of, as doing the will of the Father, Matthew 12:48. Those upon the narrow road do not care about the condition of the world they live in. Sojourners, 1 Peter 1:17, sojourners are usually happy with a meal and a good night's sleep. A vapor, as stated in James 4:14, a vapor is usually happy to have been there for the moment, not changing the air that it vanished into, not adding any more clouds or dispersing any more clouds where it had been for that moment, just happy that it had been there. Jesus Christ vanished without a fight, and so do his followers. It takes a lot more courage to be like Christ than to pull a trigger, folks. And I don't know when any of us are going to get this. Those upon the narrow road care for the condition of their hearts toward God. The truth of Jesus Christ has set them free from the bonds of the mind games of this world, free from fear and want and confusion as to the real purpose of all life. That purpose having all to do with the glory of God and his will and purpose for every living thing in creation. Oh, too much simplicity here, huh? Well, tough. Those upon the narrow road are not destroyed for lack of knowledge, because the knowledge of the truth is in them. And it is not carnal knowledge, education, or, you know, intelligence quotients. The destruction is of souls, not governments. Not societies or the rights granted by the Bill of Rights. That's petty. Their kingdom is not this world. Their houses, barns, property, or possessions. You know, they've been set free of those bonds of idolatry, too. They have these earthly things, but they're of little consequence when challenged by the possession of the hope of glory, the hope of salvation and life at the end of their road. Insignificance is gain. You know, less is more. They fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. You know, Paul told Timothy to do that. That's what Timothy is passing on. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Timothy is creating sound doctrine. The fight is known to them, to the few, as a battle against the forces of darkness, of principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, arrayed against their spirits and hearts and bodies and minds, that the few lay down their hope of salvation and lose their race. Well, not going to happen to the few. The few will not be disqualified or made reprobate. They have been given a love. They have received a love of the truth. The spiritual wickedness resides in the hearts and minds of the physical rulers of this world, mankind at large. And those walking the narrow road know full well that one may cut down and destroy the hated Illuminist, but one will never destroy the spirit of darkness which inhabited him or her. This spiritual wickedness will easily find comfortable residence in another host and continue to tempt the blind and dumb broad roaders to take them on, to change the world, to take the land back. Would the word Hydra ring any bells? Was God with the patriots at Masada? Good cause, good faith, good against evil. Who won that? Those upon the narrow road combat the spiritual wickedness, not that it be destroyed completely, but that it not triumph over the good fight to keep their souls. There's only one destroyer who will destroy the destroyer. Those on the narrow road use prayer and supplication as their primary weapons. Prayer and supplication in God's will are the word of God and make up the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. The saints use the word of God in prayer, as well as in attack, to protect their hearts, their souls, their families, to cast out the evils of temptation and the like. And prayer for God's wisdom and the knowledge of the truth is necessary to help destroy the effects the enemy would have upon them. But all this stuff is done personally, in their closets, with their God. You know, not over the internet stream or the radios. or TVs. Hence, this good fight is not against things which one can see, such as governments. It is a fight of faith, faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. And in complete opposition to the broad roaders' use of Scripture for their ends, those upon the narrow road understand completely the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. And is everything we see with our eyes eternal? Of course not. It's temporal. And we're fighting for them too, aren't we? There is a difference. There is a big difference between the broad and the narrow, which I have attempted so feebly to articulate for you. Now getting closer to the bone, let's talk about the wolves within us. I'll use the analogy of a wolf to represent our old nature, okay? You know, prowling, cagey, you know, nasty thing. If any of you have hunted wolves, you'll know what I mean about them being pretty cagey. And again, I don't use the word wolves to imply the wolves Jesus spoke of as coming to tear apart his church. A different animal, if you please. The wolves within us. Extremely important to understand about ourselves is the fact that we all have the hearts of wolves. That's the old nature. Yeah, we were born, stained with the sin of Adam, marked for physical and, more importantly, spiritual death. No getting around it. As the newly born baby grows and becomes familiar with the world around them, the five senses kick in and temptation is right around the corner. And as that little baby grows up, it's trained up in the ways of this world. And sooner or later, the heart of this cute, innocent little baby becomes converted to the heart of a wolf. I don't know about yours, but mine did. Woof, woof. This wolf is the true nature of the natural man or woman, or brute beasts, mentioned in 2 Peter 2:12 and, Jude 1:10. You know, the broad roaders. Sorry. In Jesus Christ, a new heart has taken up residence, and voila, we have become saved and never sin or are tempted again. Right? You might get that from the pulpits spewing out Burger King salvation and the lie of eternal security, but you won't get that from me. Quite the opposite. When Jesus Christ resides in us, when his new heart has taken up residence, our good fight of faith becomes a daily purge of the remnants and effects of being bloody wolves before we were called to Christ and sanctified in him. The old nature gives up hard, saints, but it does wither. It does give up. Why? Because we fight the good fight of our faith against that which the enemy primarily uses to get at us, which is us. Our emotions, our worries, our doubts, regrets, griefs, and pains add more freely here. He's coming against our minds. Does any of this in the least bit resemble the object of the fight which the broad roaders say we fight? No, not at all. With Satan, it's one soul at a time. Today's mass hysteria aside, it's cut one at a time out of the herd and destroy its soul. And that's exactly what's happening. Satan doesn't want the masses of living dead. He wants the individual in Jesus Christ. And that's getting personal. That's the good fight. And ourselves are the object of this fight, or wrestling match, as Paul put it to the Ephesians. So we fight, we wrestle against the enemy of Christ, against the enemy of our souls, the enemy of our salvation. We fight by doing battle daily upon our knees. We fight a personal battle as Jesus Christ himself fought against Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. When he was many times tempted to bring down a legion of his angels and turn his oppressors into hamburger or cinders, Jesus was tempted alone, just like we are. And Jesus didn't disobey his Father. We fight the good fight of faith alone most of the time, from rising in the morning to laying down at night. Not to make this sound like some tiring, long, drawn-out thing, though, although for some of us it is, but the victory is ours because of our intent to follow Christ. No matter how many wounds we receive or how much tribulation comes upon us, we shall not stop the good fight. And the NWO and the Christian Patriots will never get a hint or a clue of the real battle being waged for our souls, because it's before the eyes of God that we wage our wars, not the eyes of men. And no bunker buster or EMP or legion of militia can even scratch the wickedness in the high places. Can't touch it. The broad roaders can remove the high places, but they cannot remove that which dwells within the high places. We're talking about physical things. You know, wickedness has no physical address. The broad roaders have no concept of the true power of the air. Those upon the narrow road hold the forces of these terrible spiritual principalities at bay, that their souls not be lost. They battle temptation and the wiles of the enemy. That's a fight. I tell you the truth, great peace comes of great suffering, saints. Once achieved, whether in increments or with big bites, whatever God's will is for each one of us, the true saint of God will ultimately resemble the at-peace Jesus Christ, into whose image God the Father is conforming the saints. And that image is not the image of a Christian Rambo, a Billy Graham, or any other modern-day angel of light claiming the importance of their rallies and books and studies and health products, perishable or non-perishable. The only thing perishing here is posers. Jesus Christ preached to an audience, but Jesus Christ never played to an audience. His way is narrow, restricted, quiet, humble, and meek. And Jesus Christ is the only one to whom it has been given to bring the world he created down to its knees to worship the God of heaven and earth when that day comes. Jesus Christ teaches us that we must serve in humility in order to reign with him, and that not here in this lifetime. So let's just take stock in our ammunition supplies. Read some prophet's newsletter, pass around the hemp tea, and down a few caps of the latest elixir of life from the Christian ministry store, and forget what I said. That's exactly what many who hear this will do. That's no skin off my onion, ain't no threads off my garment either. I'm just doing my job. The truth shall set you free. But which truth will that be, friends? The only way to find out is to keep on walking the road that you walk, I suppose. God the Father, in his divine wisdom and foresight, placed each one of us upon one path or another. So we shall walk as we shall walk, I suppose. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Ecclesiastes 7:13. But yet, we'd rather consider our own work instead, wouldn't we? The good fight of faith will bring honor and glory to God Almighty, not to ourselves. And I suppose I'm pretty much done here. It's back to the same old mantra, broad or narrow, life or death. Repent and humble yourself before your God and your Redeemer. And do not faint under the tribulation into which you have been baptized. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified into which you have been baptized. Death and resurrection, saints. Keep that in mind. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Go in peace, brethren. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you didn't eat too much at the buffet. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.